Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Breaking Western podcast. My name is Angela Meyer, and I'm here with my co-host, Abby Peters. And we are talking to somebody super exciting today. Abby, tell them about it.
So we first met our guest back in December at NFR. Angela and I are walking through. We're wearing fairly over-the-top outfits, like envision a lot of fringe, trucker hats, big sunglasses. And all of a sudden, a rushing figure comes out of one of the booths. He's clad in a huge black fur poncho with amazing flares on. He's got a big, huge old necklace. And he's like, oh my God, you look amazing. Let's take a photo together. And our jaws are just like on the floor. We're speechless because we're like, this is the most flattering thing that's happened to us.
Yes.
This fabulously dressed individual is complimenting us right now.
Right.
Must be confused.
Who are we?
We are nobodies. He takes us into his booth, has the most gorgeous handbags.
Yeah.
Super unique. Hadn't seen anything like it the whole time we were there. We couldn't help ourselves from like touching everything and then spending more money than we intended to spend like probably ever because we just couldn't stop ourselves.
So today, needless to say, today we are talking to the famous Harley Rhodes with Dancing Cactus Designs. Harley, how are you?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you, ladies, for having me. I'm flattered with all of the compliments, to say the least.
We are so stoked to be talking to you right now. I just will always see you as this vision of the big black poncho, and it was just incredible.
Simply amazing.
Well, that's the artist that in me.
I love it. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you, and what's your brand?
Okay. Well, first off, I'm Harley Rhodes. Like you said, I am 23 years old. I own Dancing Cactus Designs. Now, you guys kind of touch base. We design cowhide handbags. They're all made in Woodward, Oklahoma. I started this company while I was attending Oklahoma State University back in 2017. Literally had no business owning a business. I had no business sewing a handbag because my degree is actually in sports media, strategic communications, believe it or not.
Really?
What?
Yeah. And so then I graduated from Oklahoma State in 2018. And then what happened? Oh, I moved out here to Woodward, Oklahoma. Felt like my brand was kind of flourishing from growing from nothing. And I just kept going from there and kind of put this this image of this very flamboyant male figure into the Western industry and took everybody by storm. I mean, I don't even know if it was taken by storm. It was kind of like taken more by shock. But I'm very flattered, and everybody in the Western industry has just been so accommodating to not only me and just welcoming. And so, yeah, I've just been super, super grateful. So I'm very flattered the fact that you guys thought of me to have on your guys' podcast.
Well, I'll just start by saying our jaws are on the floor right now.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
We didn't know you're only 23.
Yeah, I am very, very young. In fact, a lot of the Western makers and boutique owners consider me like a son. and I mean, I'm flattered by that too. Like, they all want to like take care of me and everything. But I am very, very young. I'm turning 24 here in a month, so yeah.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yay.
Thank you.
So you're a Gemini, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, Gemini. It all makes sense now. I feel like we're usually on the other side of the coin, like being the younger female in a male-dominated industry, and how interesting to have a younger male, like, kind of in a female-dominated industry.
Yes, in fact, that's a very good touch point to talk on. So I'll say that for when you guys are ready for that. But yeah, it's very different to put myself in your guys' shoes. It's very different.
Wow. So what inspires you And how did you get to be this authentic individual with a unique voice, especially being so young? Like, what was your inspiration that created Harley Rhodes?
So, my inspiration, so I'll just kind of give a little bit of backstory of how I was raised. I grew up in Thermopolis, Wyoming. So very, very small town, a town of about 4,000 people. And I actually grew up in a town smaller than that. It was in Kirby, Wyoming, and that had like 60 people.
Wow.
We were traveling back and forth to school. But I was raised by my grandparents. My grandparents are very, very traditional, very conservative, very just great individuals. They raised us from a very young age. So hard work always was something that was expected. It wasn't just like something that you just did. You were expected to do that. Mm-hmm. So that was like probably touch point one of like what's made me who I am today. And then beyond that is I've always been very goal driven. I've always been told to strive for your dreams and never look for anything less than that. And so I always, if I don't accomplish something, I'm very like, I just get nervous and very anxious, and it just really just eats at me. Cause I hate to not, meet my own expectations, but what others also expected me as well. And so ultimately it's a kind of a collaboration of the entire world of what's made me who I am. It's like, I put myself, I try to climb this pedestal and never reach the top, because I never know what my fullest potential could possibly be. And that I would definitely say that that's probably where my inspiration comes from, is what other people expect of me, is I always expect more for myself as well.
And that's so powerful to have those really high expectations for yourself, and like constantly, when you reach a goal or you reach a level, to be setting that bar higher and always like demanding more of yourself. Really incredible.
Right. Yeah. And expectations are so, like, especially in a world where expectations are so hard to meet anymore. Like other people's expectations, like whether that be on the customer service side, or whether that be on your artist and drive, or whether that be just personality. Like, people expect so much. They try to mold you into this person that sometimes isn't who you want to be. And so to be that authentic self is really actually a hard expectation. So I just have fun with this live wire character that God's given me. I just try to be the best person that can play that role in this play called life.
That's so good.
Mm, amazing.
Did you have any role models or mentors as you were kind of coming up and building your brand? I mean, like we said, you don't often see men doing what you're doing in the Western industry, let alone so successful. So kind of walk us through that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've already talked about my parents. So my dad passed away in 2018, right as I was starting this company. And that first year was so tough. Like, not only to like try to start a business, but to lose your dad, like, just made it awful. My dad was like my best friend. My dad, I told my dad everything from relationships to school to business advice to just wanting to talk to him constantly. Like, he was that one person for me. And so, like, to have that role just kind of, like, go away. I mean, he's still here with us, obviously, but just to not be able to, like, speak face-to-face, like, that's just, like, super, was very, very challenging and very hard for me to, like, understand at first. So I really confided in other people within the industry to help me get through that. So some of the people that I really, really, really look up to, and they're all, the list could go on for days, and I feel bad for, like, having to select people. But, I have mad respect for, Kelly Tracy with Little Bees Bohemian, like, yes. Goals, like,
yes.
she is, like, a mom to me. I absolutely adore her, and I hope that she gets to listen to this podcast, because, like, That she is one of the people that I absolutely look up to. What a brand that she's created.
Yeah.
Other people that I absolutely look up to is Devin Von Krosigk with Desperado Depot.
Yes.
I mean, wow, let's just like hashtag photography get selfie goals.
Yes. Yes.
I definitely look up to that. But I think that she just has created such an authentic and very unique boutique brand. And her style is just so, I'm going to use the word flamboyant for a lack of a better term in the female industry. It's so wild and lots of fringe, glow. So I think that I get a lot of inspiration from what she brings to the table in her boutique. Another boutique would have to be Tribe West. So you're looking at her, and she's just so, her boutique is just so amazing. It's so Western from what she carries. So I would definitely have to say that she is, Krista Manley is just absolutely just super authentic when it comes down to what she carries in her Western flair. It's hard to name so many boutiques. As far as makers go, holy crap. That is, like, one of the toughest questions, because, like, I mean, you can go into, like, jean companies and whatnot, so I would, obviously, I love so many people, like, you go into the turquoise industry, and I hate to single people out in that industry, so, I mean, just makers in general, are just really wild. I'm trying to think of that one person that's really, like, I consistently look into. She's pretty young as well, and her name is Caitlin. She owns Sundial Show Clothing. She is super amazing. I highly recommend, if you ever need another lady on podcast, she could definitely give you guys some time. We were supposed to go on a cruise together, so shout out to Caitlin.
Noted.
But yeah, I think that she would be really fun. You guys would love her. But ultimately, there's just so many great makers, owners of Kind Range Jeans, Wrangler. There are so many people I look into and take confide in that really bring my personality to life.
I feel like we're gonna have to do a style, like a Harley Road spring lookbook for 2020 based on everything you just recommended to us.
That would be good.
Incredible.
Yeah, boutiques, and if anybody ever needed a list of boutiques, I could give you like a wonderful like sheet and be like, yeah, they're great, because there's so many great ones.
So y'all know just where to go now. So really, Harley, it sounds like you've drawn a lot of strength and encouragement from this community of people that you've surrounded yourself with, like other business owners, other makers, just people that you look up to in the industry. Are these individuals who helped you like get to the level that you're at? How did you look to them to get to this point where you have like thousands of followers, where you have a storefront, where you're expanding to wholesale and like doing all these super amazing things as a 23-year-old?
Insane.
That's a great question. I'm glad I get to answer this, because I think that there's been a lot of like, I mean, my brand has been so, I still think of myself as small. And now to people out there, they're like, 36,000 followers on Facebook, that's huge. I'm like, no, like you look at some of these people that are on Instagram and they've got hundreds of thousands of followers. And I mean, followers is not everything, especially in business. And I'm going to kind of take this down a business pathway is, and I've had several conversations with other boutique owners, is you can have like 14,000 followers, and guess what? You're probably making some more money than some of those that have 76,000 followers. And at the end of the day, it's like you say, how loyal are your customers? And B, how great is your customer service? So ultimately, those brands that I look up to may not have the largest followings in the world, but man, their followers are very, very loyal, and they respect the customer service that has been provided in that. And so those boutiques that I listed, they do a tremendous job in that. And so I constantly am like calling them up like, hey, how would you handle this situation? What would you do in this? Hey, we're looking to expand in wholesale. What do you recommend? I mean, those are the things that I, as a business owner, I want to, I'm going to use the word copycat for lack of a better term. I'm going to copy them because, A, it's worked for them. I have mad respect for them. And it's not like I'm taking a swing at what they do. So I would say, yeah, that those boutiques are what really, on the wholesale side, is what do they expect from wholesale? And then also as a retail producing company, what do you expect on there from the, what do your customers expect of you? Because I'm lucky to be in both situations. Not many companies get to do that.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. I love that. So talking about earlier before we started recording, you told us a quote that blew both of our minds that kind of touched on that idea of like, not necessarily copycatting, but really taking it down a road of doing your own thing and creating your own unique voice. Can you tell our listeners what that quote was and what it means to you?
Yeah, for sure. So, just a little bit of backstory, and I'm willing to share this, is, I mean, there are so many people that get copied constantly, whether you're a boutique, whether you're selling clothes and people are trying to carry the same brands as you, or whether you're a maker and you get copied because of you have such a unique product, whatever that may be, there's a difference in what I'm about to say. And that quote that I like to use is, there's a difference between being a designer and being an inventor. And we're all designers in this world. Okay. It's very, very
low interesting. Clap. One more time for the kids in the back.
Yeah, so I'll yell it out a little bit louder. There's a difference between being a designer and being an inventor. Ugh. And we're all designers in this world.
Yes.
It is so hard to be an inventor. I mean, kudos to the people that invented things, like Thomas Edison and the light bulb. Like, kudos to him. Like, I'm glad you invented electricity. But as far as, like, handbags go, like, there's been so many cowhide handbags. And there's some people that say that they're the original, and some people that don't care. They just build it. And great for them. But at the end of the day, like, we've all taken inspiration from cavemen. Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
They were the first people to build cowhide handbags, for sure. I mean, whether it be one of those satchel hips that look like a fanny pack back in, like, the BC era, to when you're in the 1960s going to the NFR when it was still in Oklahoma City, girls, like, there were still handbags that were made of cowhide back then. Like, you can't say that you've built something from scratch. Like, I'm sorry to say that you can't. Like, we've all taken inspiration. So what I look to is, I like to put my own inspiration into the flair of things, whether that be like the length of fringe or how much fringe we add, or the cut style, or the colors of cowhide. That's like the best part, is when we go cowhide shopping, like, literally we call it cowhide shopping. Like, it is the best day ever, because I'm like, ooh, that hide's pretty. Ooh, that, like, it is judgment day on cowhide.
You suck.
Yeah, you are the weakest
thing. You are not worth it. You are, ooh, girl, you're a deal.
I think that's really powerful, then, to be able to, like, give yourself that room for movement and, like, let your material speak to you, while also being true to your voice, and also just being really honest with the fact that, like, you're not doing anything new, but you're doing something uniquely you.
Yeah.
Right, and you love what you do at the end of the day. Like, is my job stressful as heck? Oh, yes. Do I love it? In fact, we were talking about this at dinner. I'm so glad we're talking about this. We were having dinner last night on the porch, and we were speaking about how stressful my job, like, being a business owner, and this speaks for, I'm probably speaking outside of the realm of just myself, but to boutique owners and everybody out there, it's so tough being a boutique owner. It's tough being a business owner in the Western industry, especially during this time in the coronavirus. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I can only imagine what other people are going through. Like, we are lucky to have suppliers, but we're getting limited on what we can order. I can only imagine what boutique owners are going through as far as having to purchase things right now. And not being able to get it out of LA, New York, because it's all coming imported from China or Mexico or all of those countries that we can't get imports from.
Yeah. Do you almost think, too, that boutique owners get it a little bit easier than makers, and the fact that they're kind of ordering from the same people, having the same products, but makers are always on the chopping block for this idea of originality and copycats and all of this kind of stuff. Do you find that to be true?
Yes. Now this is probably going to throw some people under the bus, and I won't say names because this is a very like hot topic that a lot of people, especially just like outside of the industry of building or that are owners, we as makers, it is cutthroat, especially here in the U.S. where our price point, especially for like makers, even to sell at wholesale, it's so high. Like we literally like quadruple our prices wholesale when it comes down to like if it's got that stamp made in the USA. And that's why it is so cutthroat. It's because there's so much high expectation. Now I'm going to tell you right now that China, my mom is probably going to, if she ever listens to this, she would probably slap me across my head.
Sorry, Mom.
I mean, yeah, I think that, I mean, China makes great products. You got to give it to them. For the speed that they do things at and for the way that they are able to produce and manufacture and have that many people in a facility at once, kudos to them, right? It is hard as a maker when you have had such high expectations and you have something that is desired so much, and then you have this expectation that China has placed in these boutique owners' realm that, oh, we can get it quicker by just doing it this way. And even as shoppers, like I look at the way that people shop off of like Wish or what is that company? It's like Bee Lily or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it's all called.
Is it Zulily?
Zulily and all these companies that are overseas that literally copy USA makers. And there are USA makers, quote unquote, that are actually having their stuff made in China that are actually copycats of other USA makers.
Oh, yeah,
and
for sure.
That part
for sure.
Is the most discouraging, and it's just because you have a little bit more money than the rest of us.
Yeah.
And I mean, I told Mom, I'm like, I would love to go overseas at some point, but at the same time, you want to know how discouraging that is to like have a USA made product that you have been so respected on building in the USA to not be able to make it in the USA anymore. That's really super discouraging. So, I mean, China has placed this like this forecast over USA merchants, or purchasers, or whatever you want to call them, customers, that they can get out something super quick for less quality.
Yeah, and that really puts a strain on a lot of people.
It does.
Whether that's a maker, a consumer, especially considering, like, everything that the Western industry holds to be, like,
for
true and important. Yeah, it gets so tricky.
The authenticity that we pride ourselves on.
Yeah.
I have mad respect, there we go, for the code of the West, those 10 codes.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe in those, but man, those 10 commandments, it makes you question how much our industry actually abides by them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think as consumers too, walking down the aisles at the NFR, you're seeing the high price tag and be like, well, I can walk next door and get this for $20.
Right.
It's hard. It's hard to make that ethical choice.
Hard to go out there. I'm really curious to see how Las Vegas goes this year.
Same.
With the COVID. That makes me nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Like I talked to several vendors and they're not going out.
Really?
We've lost out on so many shows, we can't afford to go out there, or B, they don't think customers are going to go. So I'm really curious. I mean, we're going to go regardless. I had a blast last year.
Yeah.
I take it as a vacation, even though it's a lot of work. But, I mean, I love Las Vegas, man. There's some great vendors out there. Great people. Like, that's my crowd.
I'm having flashbacks to you drinking Capri Sun.
Oh, and like white high heel boots. God. Incredible.
Oh my gosh. This story needs to be on record.
Cole Wetzel singing in the background.
Yeah. Harley's like, oh, bitches!
This is so funny. We literally... So, I don't know if you guys got to meet Sky. She's one of my models. But she was out there with me, and we were we went to this party. It was put on by Rock and Roll Denim. I love them. They're great. I, honest to God, have no idea how we got an invite. Really, like, I've never collaborated with them. I've never met the business owner. I don't know if it was because I got an invite because they saw how good I dressed, but...
Probably.
That's
probably what it was.
But ultimately, like, I walked in, I'm wearing a white blazer, or no, a white t-shirt, white pants, and a sequin blazer. Now, who else is going to wear that?
Truly incredible.
No one. So definitely stood out like a sore thumb. Well, then to add alcoholic beverages on character, oh boy. There is a quote that went around, and I'm going to give credit to this person, and I hope he doesn't get mad about this, but, so Mr. Triangle T, Jeff, married to Mary Jo at Triangle T Boutique, he was talking with Sky during the party, and at this point, I'm probably a good, like, 20 juice boxes in. He looks at Sky and he's like, Sky, Harley's a great guy. He is great to my wife. But man, I think his only mission is to get every single juice box in his belly. And I literally, when I woke up the next morning, I was supposed to take Sky to the airport. And I was so hungover. Oh my gosh. That was like, I mean, if you want to go, if you want a place to party, that is the party to go to. Highly recommend.
I mean, that whole week was kind of a mindfuck, but the next morning I remember waking up and we literally said to each other, I wonder how Harley's feeling today.
I was definitely when I locked down the next morning and I had sunglasses on.
No matter how you feel before you get dressed, if you put on like a good outfit that is really doing a thing, like
it's like a little better.
There are no rules or limitations to what you should or can do for that day, and things will really get away from you fast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, like you make yourself look. One of my other favorite quotes, and once again, my mom's gonna hate this because I said this probably my senior year of high school, and I've stuck to it ever since. And ladies, you guys are the ones that make this quote. I'm quoting this. The more clothes you wear, the more expensive you look.
Yes!
So, I mean, literally, like, that is so true. I mean, you can wear so many, like, different pieces that are so cheap and still look great.
Yeah, it's all how you style it. Truly, yeah.
Yeah, you put your voice into anything that you wear, and it'll speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 100%. So, I mean, that is the quote for the day. Put on a t-shirt, but you better have a trademark with my name on it.
You heard it here first, folks.
I wear my Buck the Man t-shirt often, and I love
it.
Yeah, yes. I do. I really do.
I designed that t-shirt, and I love that.
It's so good.
That t-shirt, I mean... Buck the Man. We tried to come out with a great rodeo line, but once again, being a maker just before NFR is like time crunch. We took 700 bags to NFR. We sold out. It was amazing.
Unbelievable.
So
holy shit.
But, that's incredible. Man, I mean, wow. It is hard to be that creative sometimes.
Oh, yeah, because really, like everything we've been talking about, it's putting yourself into everything that you do. Mm-hmm. And that's not an easy task.
It is not.
So, with that being...
We only have one employee.
One?
Yeah.
And it's not you?
Yeah, yeah, one other employee. That's it.
Holy shit.
Okay, wait, tell us more about that and your business model and how this all works.
Oh boy.
The quick and dirty.
We get our competitors definitely say they talk a lot about this, but so when I started this company, in a one bedroom, one bath home. Now, I had my sewing machine, industrial sewing machine, in my kitchen.
Wow.
And I have, like, a small kitchen. My cowhides, during the day, laid on the floor of my living room and across the bed of my, or, and across my bed.
Wow.
And so, like, we were, like, cutting on the, like, kitchen table. There was hair everywhere. It was disgusting. Like, terrible work conditions. I probably would have been, like, I don't know. I probably could have gotten sued for, like, unsafe. Whatever, if I would have had an employee at that time. Well, then I ended up getting a warehouse, and then we got bigger as time went on, and I couldn't do it myself. But I always, like, I'm one of those people that, like, if you don't need it, then don't get it kind of thing. Now, unless it's closed, if you want it, like, go get it. As far as, like, if you need something, like, you need, like, don't, if you don't need it, don't get it. But we were definitely in need of another person to, like, help sew, cut, and I've always said that my company, even when I was even when I first started out, I said I would never just say I, as far as, like, saying the company is an I figure, like, mm-hmm. it's always going to be me figure, it's because, we. Like, because your customers are part of your business, and they are the ones that keep you going. So it's a we business. So regardless of what anyone else thinks, I always highly recommend that saying we. It'll speak volumes when it comes down to how customers look at you and how respectful. So a lot of people think that we're huge because we use the word we. But, I mean, it's just two of us. So she, Lacey, cuts, very diligently, and she helps sews as well. But then I do a lot of the vision work when it comes to, like, designing and everything and building new products. But obviously she has her hand in a little bit of that, but for the majority of all of our products, I do a lot of the designing.
Wow. So other than that advice that you just gave us, which was absolute gold to say we, because what a great way to look at your company. What other advice do you have for people that are just starting, maybe doing the same kind of thing that you do that are not copying you, but are putting their own twist on it? What is your advice for those makers or boutique owners?
Oh, I could go for days on this. I mean, we've been put through the ringer, and we've had definitely some great highs and great lows. Take risks. That's going to be the big one. Like, you're going to get a lot of backlash on it regardless, but at the end of the day, whatever makes you happy and whatever makes you think that your company is successful, or whatever your platform of what success is, or how you measure success, that's going to come on how many risks you take, whether that be going into the wholesale realm, whether that be going retail, whether that be going to designing or launching a new product, or if you decide to go overseas, or if you, whatever, wherever you put your risks or what you put your heart and mind into, it's going to pay off in the long run if you at least give it a try and perform. You just have to make sure you're performing, because it's not going to happen overnight. This business, it took a whole year and a half to get off the ground, and then it grew. Oh, my parents were so nervous for me when I started this off. They were like, you're not going to go work. Like, you have no income coming in. I mean, yeah, things got tight for the longest time. I remember having to tell my mom, like, hey, is there, can you pay rent this month? Is that okay? And that was very, very tough for me to do. Because, like, I hate to ask my parents for things because they've given me so much. But at the same time, like, they believed in my vision. They wanted me to be happy, and if you don't take risk at the end of the day, then that's going to be, that would be my number one. And my number two is network like crazy. Don't be afraid to say hi. Don't be afraid to be that person you've always wanted to be. Make that business persona the person that you've always wanted to be. If you don't feel like it is, that's who you are now, then you're not doing business right. I feel like that one thing of being authentic and creating that vision of who you want to be and being the best version of you can always be performed in the action of business, because you want people to respect that person. So I would say that those two things is go network like crazy and definitely take risks.
I wish you could see Angela and my face right now up. Because we're both sitting here with like the most stupid little puppy dog faces, like staring out the window like, oh my gosh, our hearts are just exploding right now because what a beautiful sentiment and such powerful words. Like for anybody who's listening who needed to hear that, like he is speaking to you right now.
Yep.
Because that hustle phase, it's not glamorous,
and it's not cute.
it's like so easy when we're constantly hearing these stories from people who made it and looking at where they are now, and then hearing them talk about that in between time and being like, oh wow, that must have been really hard. And it was, but that's not how it feels when you're in it.
No,
it
is like that's rough. No,
like you're in the trenches.
I would have a better business selling the number of tears that I've cried than what I do now, if I literally got a dollar for every tear that I shed.
Yeah.
I think you're going to make us cry sitting right here.
Countless nights. I call my mom, and bless her heart. I know that sounds like a bad term, but man, she puts up with a lot of BS from me.
Oh,
I love it. Like,
so then Harley, going off of everything that you've just said, like taking into account all this, because these are the themes that keep coming through, like hard work and authenticity and like remaining true to yourself. So what would you say to anyone who would listen about remaining true to yourself and like holding on to that authentic part of yourself in the face of adversity, in the face of it all?
Ooh, that's a tough question because everyone handles it a little bit differently. Man, at that point, it's going to come back to look at who your role models are. We always like use the word like, what would Jesus do? And some people have turned that into like, what would Dolly do?
Which is a very close second to Jesus.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. Sometimes I wonder. But, I ultimately look at that and I look at like, what other people are doing in the industry, and what would they do? Like, my big one is, what would Kelly Tracy do? because we get thrown curveball after curveball after curveball, and people in this industry, as much as, like, it can be catty sometimes, there's those people out there that you just, like, you're just drawn to, and you just have, like, a passion for, and those are the people, like, go out and find your bestie in this industry, and whether it be like 5 minutes of like just stress relief talk and like asking them like, okay, this is the situation, I need to tell you about it, 95% of your worry is going to go away just by getting it off of your shoulders and letting someone else know. But at the same time, like, that also revolves into being how authentic that you are. Like, the moment that you release that other 5% is, what do you do after that phone conversation? Like, how do you make your business better? Like, what kind of platform do you, what parts of your platform do you change? What parts of your human nature, your personality do you change to become the best version that you can be and offer to your customers? At the end of the day, like, my customers have watched me, man, and I'm not saying that I know everything by any means. I still got a lot of growing to do. In fact, Sky has said this multiple times to me. She's like, Harley, like, you've got a lot of growing up to do still. And I'm like, yeah, I do. She's so right. In fact, that was actually one of the first things that another maker told me was, you have a lot of growing up to do before you're successful. whether you're at the age of 45 and just starting, or whether you're 23 and just starting, or 19 and just starting, or whether you have a boutique that's been around for 20 years and you're just getting online. I mean, you have a lot of learning to do. And you just got to be, I'm trying to think of the right, or what's the word? You've just got to have a lot of integrity in what you do in everyday life. And when you show your customers and you show the people that are in this industry that you have integrity and you know what it means, that's when you're going to become more and more successful and you'll flourish off of that.
Wow. Harley, if this was a school, this would be the textbook that people would need to listen to learn how to do business. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I am insanely inspired right now. I think we're going to hang up the phone and possibly tool some leather or something after this.
We're going to like go and like put on all of our best outfits.
Yes, that's what we're actually going
to
do.
And then just like strut around the house trying to live up to our fullest potential.
Yes. Fashion show.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Harley, so much for being on here with us today. And also extra thank you that I'm not going to edit a single fucking thing out of this podcast, because it was just amazing conversation. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate this. Thank you for the opportunity. And I hope that, I definitely get to go back and look at, I got to go live up to my expectations that I just set up for myself in this deal. But I really am grateful for you guys to have me on here and get to talk with you wonderful ladies. So
yes.
Well, thank you so much, Harley. And if any of you listeners are interested in checking out Harley's work, which
you are,
10 out of 10 recommend doing, you can find him on Instagram at Dancing Cactus Designs, as well as on Facebook, website by the same name, shopdancingcactusdesign.com. So get to and go check him out. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you guys for listening to the Breaking Western podcast. We will be back next Wednesday with another guest. Next Thursday, I guess, is when we upload, with another guest. And thank you, Harley. We'll talk to y'all next week.